A woman we know got cancer when her children were very young. And her prayer was that God would let her be there until they were grown. They are grown, and she's still alive and healthy. It doesn't always work out that way, does it? When we attune ourselves to the ways of God, we will see how he is the God who keeps his promises, who always says, I will do what I said I would do. God made three promises to Abraham. Old Abe couldn't see how things were going to happen, but it says that he believed God anyway. The thing about God is that just when it looks like he has abandoned his promises to us or to his whole people, we find out that it was really us who moved away from God and not that God moved away from us. That's the history of God's people. That's what we inherit. Today in the three readings, we get snapshots of how it was going as those three promises unfolded. One of the three promises was a homeland for the people. That was the promise of a land where they would be prosperous and free and where God himself would be in their midst. And that had been, of course, fulfilled when they crossed the Jordan River and entered the promised land. But after years and many times of falling away from the worship of God and of his promises, they lost the land. They really thought they had lost God with the land. I think that many people, maybe even people here, know what it's like to lose their home. It could be because of a flood or a fire or a war or even financial ruin. One of the most heartbreaking images is a family looking at the ruin of their homes after a fire or a flood. It's not just losing their shelter and their most valuable possessions. It's the fact that everything that connects them with their memories, their history, their families is taken away. It's like losing a big piece of themselves. I remember the story of a woman who cried when she entered her rented home after losing hers in the flood in High River back 6 years ago. Remembering what she had lost. For the Israelites taken into bondage in Babylon, it was all of that and more. God's own city, Jerusalem, contained the glorious temple that Solomon had built to house the Ark of God's presence, the Ark of the Covenant. The covenant was God's promise to always be with his people. Jerusalem was destroyed, the glorious temple that Solomon built was torn down, and the Ark was lost. Some people say that Indiana Jones found it, but not so sure about that. But when they went back and rebuilt the temple, it was a pathetic shadow of its former self, and the city had lost most of its luster. They cried when they looked at it to think about what they had lost. But Isaiah was the prophet who was now saying that they had not lost God. In fact, they would be beginning a new relationship with him as babies. Today's first readings seems to go overboard with the images of how a mother nurtures her child. She nurses it, she caresses it, and she holds her baby to herself. She plays with her child on her knee. As the infant experiences joy in its mother's loving embrace, so would the people, now reborn in a way, experience new life with God. This was to be the new ground of their being, the new and higher way of looking at the promise of a land. Land was actually the second promise made to Abraham. The first one was that Abraham would become a great nation, a people who would be numerous and would be God's holy people, and he would be their God. But how would you know if you were part of God's people? Well, property and slaves in the ancient world were branded or tattooed with a mark of ownership. For a person, that meant that you were literally owned by someone. You were a slave. And so that's the language that people understood. So God used a sign that people knew about in those days. It wasn't unheard of for ancient peoples to practice circumcision. But it became the physical sign for a man and his family that they were members of God's people. Paul uses the image of being a slave, owned by Christ. The marks of that ownership were the scars that he carried, that he got from being beaten and whipped. He says, I carry the marks of Jesus branded on my body. If you want to boast about something, he says, boast about that. Now, if we didn't notice it before, our God gives great recognition to our physical bodies. You know, sometimes we think of our journey as just this spiritual one and that we're just souls to God. But whether it is a mother nurturing her child or Jesus being tortured and crucified, it is in our physical state that love is expressed. So, love is expressed both in tenderness and in self-sacrifice. I have a friend who donated one of his kidneys to a sick cousin. It was so beautiful because he bears the scars now in his body of that self-giving love, and he did it so easily. He gave what was his to give without holding back. Imitating Christ, Christianity conquered the entire Roman Empire, the Roman world, because of love and a willingness to suffer, to be known as Christians. And even as the empire fell apart, Christians did the work of taking care of those in need. We leave most of that now to government programs, but it's the primary requirement of being a Christian and the sign of being part of the great nation of people. The third promise was never understood until it was being fulfilled. It was easy to imagine receiving land and being part of a great nation. We can kind of relate to that. We pursue all of the things that are going to benefit ourselves and our families. But how about God's plan to bring salvation to all of God's people? I have a brother who has basically dedicated the rest of his life to making sure that his two children and his four grandchildren are doing okay. I love this about him because it means he has understood something so important about love, about self-giving love. But God's plan is even bigger than that. It's a plan for the eternal happiness of every person and every nation. Those Egyptians who had enslaved the Israelites for 400 years, those are my people too. Those are my children, he says. And the Babylonians who conquered them, I need to reach them also. And the cruel Romans, show them what it means to love like God does, because I intend to save them too. Today's gospel passage shows Jesus sending out 70 disciples in pairs to tell people about the coming of the kingdom of God. He gave them his own authority over natural things like illness and over spiritual things like demons. And they were thrilled with this, but Jesus did not congratulate them for having done their work well. Instead, he recommended that they adjust their priorities to desiring only that their names be written in heaven. And then Jesus slips into the conversation this dramatic fact. He says he was there when Satan and his followers challenged God as the source of all wisdom and love and life. I saw Satan fall like a flash of lightning. It's one of the many times when Jesus gives us a clue about his full identity. He was there when Satan rejected God's plan to bless the whole world, and so he fell from heaven. And now, Jesus was establishing the pattern for how all of God's people would enter that kingdom. The big question, the one that can make sense of everything we learn from Scripture, attending Mass, is what do those promises made to Abraham so long ago mean for us today? Is God still fulfilling those promises in our lives and in our times? What about land? In our baptism, we have a new ground to stand on. We are truly born anew. Jesus told them, you don't need the temple. I am the new temple from which the grace of God flows like a river and is given like a mother's love. Through baptism, we are born into a new life and become participators in the divine life, in God's bosom as his sons and daughters. What about a great nation? Our unity is seen in the sign that we wear on our souls. We bear the wounds of Christ. What are those wounds? While they are the wounds of love, we offer new life to others who have suffered loss. We can be instruments of God's promise to be present to other people. Jesus broke the bread and he poured out the wine, saying, "This is my body and blood, which will be given for you." Through the Eucharist, we share the common meal of God's family. In it, we receive the nourishment, which is Jesus Christ, God's own life given for us. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are made sharers of the graces of the kingdom in the sacramental life of the church. What about blessing to the nations? The sign of that blessing is the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ in me is uniting itself to the Christ in you. So when we exchange the sign of peace, one priest said, sometimes Catholics look like it's recess time at Mass. That's Catholic recess. But it is really part of the whole sacred movement of the Mass. Afterwards, God comes to us under the appearance of bread and wine. But what is really Jesus, the kingdom for what God's people have always longed. It's the true peace of God that we offer one another. The psalmist says, "Go and tell what God has done for you. Go and tell of God's promises fulfilled in your life. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. How awesome are your works." Is God the God who fulfills promises? The promise of a land, it's Jesus Christ. The promise of a nation to be part of, it's in Jesus Christ. And the promise of eternal blessing for all people, that is the peace of Christ, which we will offer to one another and which we will receive in the Eucharist today.